Welcome to The Workplace, a podcast by Cal Chamber. I'm Erica Frank, Cal Chamber's Executive Vice President and General Counsel. And back with us today on the podcast is Jennifer Shaw of the Shaw Law Group. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you, Erica. I'm so happy to be here.
It's always a delight to have you. And today, we're going to be talking about an issue that many employers have become familiar with, yet have a number of questions. And, you know, as someone who likes to geek out on some of this information, I have questions as well. And that has to do with the recently passed and enacted federal emergency sick leave and the Emergency Family Medical Leave Act, both of which were passed several weeks ago by the federal government that provide paid leave to employees who need to take leave for explicit reasons as outlined. And for those of you that are podcast listeners, we've had already a few podcasts that have talked about these leave laws and offered some guidance about who's an eligible employer, who's an eligible employee. But what we haven't talked about, and what Jennifer, I hope you can provide and shine some light on, is how do these federal leave laws interact, if they do at all, with California's leave?
Well, and that is a great question, because as many of our listeners probably know, the federal government has issued a lot of guidance on these two new leave laws, what we're calling COVID sick leave, COVID-19 sick leave, and the expanded FMLA provision. What's interesting is California hasn't said hardly anything about California paid sick leave. Now, it is clear from the federal guidance that we can't require employees to exhaust their California paid sick leave before they use, for example, the COVID-19 sick leave. So there are some provisions, and of course, we already knew that in California because our California paid sick leave laws and our local ordinances have such restrictive provisions, many of them. But we don't have a lot of guidance, so it's an interesting situation where, in my opinion, we have an overwhelming amount of guidance on the federal level, so much that I'm staying up into the wee hours of every night trying to keep up with the emergency rules and the final rules and the Q&As and everything else they're doing, but not much on the local or state level.
Yeah, and I think that that's where a lot of employers that are so accustomed to seeing these types of leave laws transpire at the state level are just waiting for the next shoe to drop and are kind of saying, hey, did we miss something? Because as you and I both know, it has been extremely challenging to keep up with all of the updates and all of the changes that sometimes happen in the middle of the night, especially when we're dealing with changes coming from Washington, D.C. and the time lag that we have. What are a couple of things that employers need to be aware of? Let's step back for a second and at least highlight a couple of issues with the COVID sick leave, as you call it, and the emergency FMLA. What are some things that you think employers should remember as it relates to those two new leave laws?
Well, there are a couple of really important things. First of all, for the emergency FMLA, okay, very important to understand the requirements are much different than regular FMLA. Employees who work with you for 30 days are eligible for that leave, okay? The other thing to know is that that leave, the emergency FMLA, is really just another basis for using the FMLA. So what that means is you just have another reason to dip in the bucket. It's not an additional 12 weeks. It's just another reason that people can use their FMLA. So that has a couple of consequences, right? First of all, if they've already used some of their FMLA in the prior 12 months, they're not going to get the full 12 weeks of emergency sick leave. Okay, so that's the first thing to know, because again, it's just another reason that you can dip into that bucket. The other thing that's important is, of course, this is paid time, which is much different than under the regular FMLA. So that creates some interesting issues in terms of integrating the employee's accrued leave balances, any sort of benefits, wage replacement benefits they may be receiving from the government or from an AFLAC-like policy. You have to keep that in mind, right? So the other thing about the emergency FMLA is it's only for the one reason of caring for your child who can't go to childcare or a nursery school or school, right? Their child provider or the place of school or child care is closed. So it's a very limited purpose. And so the practical effect of that is that we don't think people should just be including this emergency FMLA in their regular FMLA policy. Remember, there's not a California equivalent. So somebody could be using this emergency FMLA but not using any of their California Family Rights Act bucket, because the California Family Rights Act doesn't recognize leave for this purpose. So it's really important in our view to have a separate policy for this emergency FMLA and the E-sick, the emergency sick, so that that way it's very clear this policy relates to these two new provisions that are part of the Families First Law. So that's important. Then, of course, there's this whole deal about how do you figure out how much pay they're going to get. The pay differs for the sick leave, of course, depending on why they're using the sick leave, what category. Remember, there are six categories, what category right. they're using. The calculation of the regular rate of pay, which you're supposed to be basing this on, is not the regular rate that we're used to doing. It's an average over 6 months. So, you know, look, we could go on and on, but there are a lot of differences, and it's very important for people to understand that they've got to do this separately. They need to think of it together, but separate, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so one of the things that comes to mind as I'm hearing you provide a very nice, quick summary of a lot of the nuances of these two new leave laws is, you know, a lot of employers have always been used to coordinating benefits or determining whether the, for example, the FMLA runs concurrently with California's CFRA. Here it feels like they need to be in two lanes running parallel with each other, but never intersecting.
Yes, totally agree.
And yeah, so as these two lanes are running parallel but never intersecting, there's different documentation that also applies here. And I think one of the big differences with the COVID-19 sick leave and the emergency FMLA is the documentation that the employer provides to the employee and the documentation that the employee provides back to the employer and the reason why the employer wants the documentation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It's all driven by the tax credit. Remember I said a moment ago that regular FMLA, of course, is unpaid by the employer. Of course, employees can get wage replacement benefits from the government or from a policy. They can also use their accrued but unused time. This sick leave, this COVID-19 sick leave, and also the emergency FMLA, this is paid time. So the reason we have this documentation is because what the government said is, hey, listen, we know you're small employers. We know that it's going to be a hardship to pay this, but we're going to let you get a tax credit, and we're going to make it very easy for you to get the tax credit, right? You can just deduct it from the taxes you owe us. Well, then I think what happened in the black room, you know, when the doors were all closed and the blinds were pulled, was the IRS and the Department of Treasury started thinking, wait a darn minute. We don't want to give everybody these tax credits. We want to make sure there's really solid documentation. So then they issued all of these requirements that the employer is going to have to be able to meet to show that they're entitled to a tax credit. And what it means practically is that the employer is going to have to ask the employees for very specific information as part of the request, which of course is not required under regular FMLA. We tell people under regular FMLA, take a verbal request, take an oral request. You don't need something in writing. Don't be too difficult about this. But now with emergency FMLA and the COVID-19 sick leave, we're going to have more documentation if we want to take advantage of the tax credit.
In fact, I think I saw in the regulations or in the commentary leading to the regulations this notion that a verbal request is okay so long as there is a clear agreement between the employee and the employer, but that the employer needs to memorialize that in writing.
Yes, they need to memorialize it in writing, but the problem is they're not going to memorialize the right stuff if they don't ask the right questions of the employee. That's why, even though for regular FMLA, we often say, look, a leave request form isn't relevant. Just let them tell you what they need and move on. Here it is important because you're going to want to gather some really important information so you have it for that whole tax credit process.
And one thing that the Cal Chamber is putting together is a form that the employer can use that will have the correct information that the employer needs to obtain so that it makes it easier
That's
for the
perfect.
Employer to administer. Yeah, and have that information so that they can obtain the tax credit later on down the road. And again,
yes.
more documentation, more rules that HR has to comply with as we're moving into this new territory. Now, we've talked a little bit about California. So far, we don't have the same emergency leave in California, either through emergency sick or as of today, as of the time of recording here, the first week of April, we don't have any COVID-related changes to the California Family Leave Medical Act, CFRA.
Correct. What that means, of course, is just like when we're dealing with the FMLA service member leave, where someone can take FMLA service member time that is not going to count as CFRA time, we're going to be in the same situation with this extended or emergency FMLA.
So again, two separate lanes that run parallel but never intersect. At least in my mind, that's how I'm going to keep remembering it.
I couldn't agree more.
Any other tips that you can offer to employers before we bring a close about administering the COVID sick emergency FMLA, Jen?
Well, I think the most important thing that I want to remind people is not to rush. And what I mean by that is a lot of people are feeling the pressure to give their employees information, you know, the moment they ask for it and making sure they get out a notice immediately when they want to get out the notices due. And the problem is we're in a situation where you're going to have to really think about this stuff. And it's just not going to be that easy. It's not going to be something where at least for now, until we all get a lot more familiar with these issues, where you're going to be able to just answer off the top of your head. So that's why I think we need to be really careful about telling people, hey, listen, I need to go look at this. I need to talk to somebody. I need to do a little research. Because lots of variations are coming up. And because this leave is paid, people have much more of an incentive, understandably, of course, to ask for it.
Very good point. Very good point. And again, this issue continues to evolve, and we'll see whether when the legislature comes back, and as of the date of this podcast, we know they'll be coming back the first week of May or the beginning of May. We'll see whether we see some similar measures coming out of the state legislature. And if we do, we'll have you back on, Jennifer, to talk a little bit more about those.
I would love to do that. Thank you so much. It's always so much fun for me to be here with you.
My pleasure, and it's always a delight to have you as well. And to all of you that continue to listen into our podcast, thank you so much. We certainly hope that we are providing you with relevant information as we all move through this very fluid time in our lives. As the summer months approach, we hope that we'll be able to all be out there with our barbecues and enjoying our friends and family again. But until then, we're in this together, and we will continue to offer you information that we do find is helpful to those who are employers and employees alike as we make our way through this tough time. So thank you again for listening to The Workplace. Please comment, share, and subscribe to Cal Chamber's podcast by visiting calchamber.com.